Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Earlier in the week, Monday to Wednesday, we had a leaders conference, and we had about 140, 150 leaders from this nation and from Europe and from one or two other nations beyond Europe. And we had a really, really powerful time, actually. And increasingly, we're getting more leaders who are wanting to relate to Kingdom Faith and be in relationship with us. And it was probably, it might have been even one of the best or the best leaders conference that we've ever had. And it was partly the way God moved. It was the depth of what he was saying. But it just seems to be that God is just really uniting hearts right across this nation and in other nations together for what he wants to do. And so I'm going to sort of share some of what I shared on the Wednesday morning session. I believe God spoke to him about this stuff really for us as a church, but really felt it was right to share that with the leaders. And so I'm going to hopefully keep this a bit shorter, and we can spend a bit of time just praying and responding to the word, and also give a bit of time to interview Nikki as part of what I believe God wants to say to us. So if you want to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 19. The men of the city, that is Jericho, said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." Then he said to them, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained wholesome till this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." Here we have a situation where the men of Jericho, they come to the man of God in this situation, and they say, "Look, the town is well situated, but as you can see, but the water is bad, and therefore, because the water's bad, the land is unproductive." Now, the town obviously looked okay, or the city looked good, and in one sense, for us in our time now, a lot of our towns, a lot of our cities look good on the face of it. The development of Horsham in this town, the development of other towns over the last 5, 10, 15 years has very much looked like a lot of our towns are looking really nice, with the whole new shopping malls and the kind of apartment blocks and houses that are being built and the way a lot of inner city areas are being regenerated. A lot of things look like the towns or the cities are well situated. They look good. Maybe the standard of living looks like it's getting better, and the standard of people's lives is improving. But as we've seen over these last few months, there's a bit of crumbling going on around us in society, and maybe the foundations and the basis on which people are putting their trust and their securities are being shaken and are being moved about. And as we've seen over the last number of months, how much our society is based on credit, on somebody borrows something from somebody else, but that person has borrowed the money from somewhere else, and that somewhere else has borrowed the money from something else. And so we have this succession of people borrowing one person to the next, one company to the next, one organization to the next, and suddenly there's a bit of a fear, there's a bit of a panic, and we begin to realize that what we've built society on is sand. And what we begin to realize is the securities that we've put our lives in, and the statements of saying, "Well, our lifestyle looks pretty good, our houses look quite nice, our vehicles look pretty good, our shopping centers, our communities, they on the face of it seem to be well situated, seem to look really good, but yet a lot of it seems to be built on something that's not going to last." And we have a very paralleled situation now than we do in this situation here. These guys say, "Look, the town is well situated, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." Now, I believe that God wants to say a few things to us from here, but also from some other scriptures. And in one sense, the water represents the life of the people. And for us in our society. And at the end of the day, when people don't know Jesus, their lives are not going to be productive in a way that God wants them to. The only way we can have eternal life or have something eternal happen in our lives is if we know Jesus. And the word is kind of saying here that if people's lives are not right with God, then their lives are bad in one sense, and therefore their lives are then going to be unproductive. And in this situation here, our towns and cities can look good, but if our lives are not lined up with God, then our lives are not going to produce what God wants to see them produce through them. So we have that impact in society because people are living for themselves, people are living to try and secure things, they're trying to create an identity and all of that, but because their lives and hearts are not right with God, their lives are therefore unproductive in terms of how God sees them. Because God doesn't base things on material things. He bases things on his word and on his eternal purposes, as we know. But then Elisha goes on to respond to these guys, because they come to the man of God and they say, "Hey, look, this is the situation. Can you help us? We don't know what to do about it." And so the man of God says, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." Now, I believe one of the things that the new bowl represents is the church. And I believe God is saying, bring me, I want to do something new in the church. I want to bring a reviving into the church. I want to cleanse the church. I want to put a saltiness and a flavor in the church, because I want to do something with the life that is in the church. And so he says, bring me a new bowl. He doesn't say, bring me a structure, bring me something that has happened and bring me something that is already established. He says, bring me something new. Bring me something that is clean. Bring me something that is pure. Something that when the salt goes into it is not going to be contaminated, but actually the salt is going to then be able to be thrown in to then cleanse what it's going to be thrown into. And so they bring him this bowl. He puts salt in it. Then he went out to the spring and he threw the salt into it. Then there was a number of things he said. Then this is what the Lord said. Because he threw the salt into it. I have healed this water. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if you've got a river, and they brought him some salt and a bowl, I mean, they didn't turn up with a truckload of salt. There was a bowl of some size, and he said, put salt in it. Now, the ratio of salt to water is far outstrips the potential of the salt to cleanse a whole river. But when God's supernatural power, when the Holy Spirit gets involved in a situation, God can do a lot with a little. And so, in the situation here, puts the salt in the bowl, goes to the river, throws the salt in. Now, what is God saying? He's not saying he wants to throw the church into the river, in the sense of the structures and the form and all of that. What he's saying is, I want the life of who I am within my body, the body of Christ. I want the life to be thrown into the river or into society out there. And the effect of it when the Holy Spirit is at work is that a very small amount can affect a very large amount. But I believe it's important that we understand it's not that we take church out there. We're taking life out there. We're taking the life of the kingdom. Jesus said, you know, he came to bring the good news of the kingdom. And he didn't say, I've come to bring the good news of the church. He said, I've come to bring the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. He didn't say the church is at hand. He said the kingdom is at hand. Jesus came and talked about the life of the kingdom. And so we have this life, this kingdom life within us, and this is what God wants to throw into the midst of people's lives, into households and into the community, into the towns, where he wants to throw our lives that have been salted with the flavor. And that's partly why God's been creating or cleansing or working in our hearts, because he's been re-salting and re-flavoring, because there's a sense in which he wants to throw us into something that seems completely impossible. But when the Holy Spirit is at work, all things become possible. Okay. But then there are these words that are spoken. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. The water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word of Elisha. Now, just hold all those thoughts for a minute. Turn to Isaiah 42. And we're going to look at verses from verse 6 onwards for a minute. verse 6 of Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand and will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind and to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord and that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. He's a very jealous God, jealous for his name to be proclaimed and to be worshipped. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Let's just look at verse 6 for a moment. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. What was Elisha saying? Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. What God is doing is he's creating and making a righteous people. He says he's called us in righteousness so that we walk in righteousness, or so that we live in righteousness. We live in right standing with God. We live in right order with God. We walk with God in righteousness. And he says, I've called you in righteousness. And as I call you in righteousness, I take hold of your hand and will lead you in righteousness. Okay? He doesn't say I lead you in self-righteousness, but I lead you in righteousness. To be righteous is to be humble, is to be submitted to the Lord, to walk in right standing with him, to walk in submission to him. And so he calls us in righteousness and he takes hold of our hands. But then look at the next couple of lines. He says, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, God was speaking to Israel here at this moment, okay? Saying that I'm making you and will keep you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Now, I believe God wants to say something specific to us this morning in relation to the town that we live in, or if you live in another town, the town that you live in, but also to do with the 25-mile radius that we have a vision to see really transform, but also the nation, this nation. And God's a covenant God. And God will never, ever break covenant with you and with me. And part of God's covenant is I will never, ever leave you and I will never, ever forsake you. Part of God's covenant is he makes decrees and he gives commands and he speaks things over our lives and over our towns and over our nation and over the nations. And part of God's covenant with himself, with his own word, is that he watches over his word to make sure that it is performed and that it really does come to fruition or to fulfillment. And therefore, God will watch over his word that he speaks into our life and the word that he decrees over our life together to watch over it to make sure that it is performed and it comes to fulfillment through our lives. And so God makes a covenant and he says, I'll never ever leave you. I'll never ever forsake you. I'll never turn away from you and turn away from my own word about your life. I'm always going to speak my word, watch over my word, but work my word in you so that my word is fulfilled through you to the nation, to the city, to the town, to the community. And so in the same way that God has made covenant with us, I believe that he wants us to make covenant with our town. Maybe a few years ago, the perception in the church, in the church in general, is, you know, this is our Sunday morning box. This is our house group box. This is my time with Jesus box. This is my evangelism moment box, you know, where you put your evangelistic hat on, because as a church we're going to go and do some evangelism. And you know, maybe a few years ago a lot of church was seen as, you know, this is this bit and that's that bit and that's the other bit and here's your evangelistic bit. And so we organize our evangelism thing down in the town one afternoon in the summer. We all congregate, we pray together, we meet, we go down to the town, we talk a bit about Jesus, and then we all run back to the church at the end of the afternoon thinking we got away with it, nobody got beaten up, nobody got stoned, we didn't lose anybody on the way, we've made it, great, we've done our annual bit of outreach. Okay, I mean, you know, there has been that kind of thinking. But actually, God's been changing all of that. It's saying there isn't an evangelism hat. And what he's saying is, I don't want you to live in compartments or in boxes and say, well, this is my prayer box, and this is my worship box, and this is my evangelistic box, this is my family time box, this is my work box. He's actually saying, I've bought your life, I've paid a price for your life, your life belongs to me, it's not your own anymore, and your life has been given over to me 24/7. And he said, as I've made covenant with you that I'll never ever leave you and never ever forsake you, I want you to make covenant or have the same attitude and heart towards your town, towards your community, towards those people that you know that are not saved, they're not born again. Because I want to demonstrate my love and my heart through my body to the world out there that is dying at this time. But that dying world out there needs the life that is in my body. And therefore, it's going to take a people that are going to covenant themselves to me and my purposes, but then also covenant themselves because my purpose is that all men would be saved. And I believe God is wanting to do something deeper in our hearts at this time. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit, hasn't it? And it's got to be the Spirit of love, because to covenant ourselves with our town or with our region or nation, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. See, God covenanted himself with Israel, whether they walked with him or whether they didn't. And his heart, when they weren't walking, was to restore, was to turn around so they came back into right relationship. God's covenant wasn't based on their performance. His covenant was based on his word and his nature and his character to fulfill what he declared and decreed over that nation so that they would walk with him. And in the same way that God has made covenant with Israel and also with us as part of the body of Christ, I believe God wants us to maybe see friends, neighbours, our community, our town in a different way than we maybe have done. And I believe God wants to burst any bubble of just evangelistic thinking where we go into that mode and actually see, we're here to see our community, our town, our nation transformed. But it's going to need a people that are covenant themselves, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. It's like a marriage. Saying, we're not going to leave you, we're not going to forsake you. We're here because God wants to reveal himself into your life. And so no matter how you treat us, we're going to just continue to serve you, to love you, to lay our lives down for you. What do you reckon? Why? To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. What does that do? It then brings glory to the Lord. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. God's a jealous God. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of isms out there that are worshipping all kinds of things. But God's jealous for his name to be worshipped and adored in a fresh way. Just turn to Hosea for a minute, and then we'll kind of link all three scriptures together. Hosea chapter 1. Verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go, take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And there's a number of things in this story. So here we have the man of God, and God tells him to do something that is pretty unusual here. He says to the man of God, the prophet at this time, and he says to him, go and find yourself an adulterous wife and marry her, and with her you're going to have children of unfaithfulness. Wow. This guy lived. He was alive, right? So one day he was praying, spending time with God, and God spoke to him. What would we do with that if God said something like that to us? Go and find yourself a prostitute, somebody who's an adulterous person. Go and find them and marry them. And we were, you know, if you went to your pastor with that one, you know, I've kind of been sensitive for a while, and I think, but, you know, imagine the situation. But God wanted to parallel something at this point. He wanted to speak to the nation at this moment, because the nation of Israel, they weren't walking with God at this moment. They'd been prostituting themselves against God. What does that mean? It means they've been worshipping other gods and other idols made of stone and carved out of wood and other things from other nations. And they've been worshipping God. And effectively, God saw that. They've been worshipping other gods. And God saw that as prostituting themselves, because they've been giving themselves to some other things that weren't God. And he was jealous for his name. And he said to Hosea, I want you to go and marry a prostitute, because I want to demonstrate my love. I want to demonstrate my heart. I want to demonstrate my nature, my character. I want to demonstrate my covenant to my people. And I want you to go and marry this woman to show what really is in my heart for you as a people. And so Hosea goes and marries this lady, and it's a beginning of a demonstration of the incredible love and the incredible heart that God has for the nation. Saying, my love for you is not based on performance or whatever, but my love is based on who I am, my nature, my character, my word, and I'm never ever going to give up on you. My heart is to restore you, bring you back to me so that you're in right relationship with me. Just turn to chapter 3, beginning of the chapter. Then the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. So even though he'd married her, she was still off doing her own thing. She was still off prostituting herself with other people. And again, the Lord says to him, the verse 1, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. If there was a bit of custard on it, that would be very tempting. It's got to come in somewhere, isn't it? But even though Hosea had married this lady, she still carried on in her ways. And God reminds Hosea, hey, go and find her, go and get her. Now, he had to buy her back. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. And man, he had to actually buy his own wife back. Now that sounds like something that Jesus did for us. That no matter what we've done in our lives, what anybody in society has done, however much they've gone against God, Jesus still came and paid the price on the cross, gave his life, shed his blood, and took all the guilt, our shame, our pain, everything that condemned our own lives. Jesus took all of that upon himself and said, I'll take their place instead. Because again, God's love is not based on performance. It's his nature, his character, is who he is. And he says, I'll never ever leave you. I'll never ever forsake you. And I believe that God wants us to pray this morning. And it's like, he's made covenant with us. And his covenant with us is not based on performance. We need to obviously submit, we need to obey, and we need to line up with God and everything. But in the same way that he's made covenant with us, I really, just during the week, and as I've been praying since then as well, I believe God's been saying, I want you as a church, as a people, to make covenant with your town, with the people. If you make covenant, you always speak well of. If you're in covenant with somebody, you're always looking for the best in their life. If you have covenant with somebody, you're going to defend them. You're going to serve them. You're going to honor them. If you're in covenant with them, you lay your life down and say, I want to put you before me. If we're going to be in covenant, then we're saying, no matter what happens, come hell or high water, good or bad, whatever's going on, covenant is not based on circumstances or whether you're going through a tough time or a great time. Covenant is based on us giving ourselves to you because we want to demonstrate, we want to reveal God's heart, God's nature, God's character. We want to see God's kingdom life come into your life. And I believe we need to just pray together and respond to the Lord today. Now, we've got a lot of stuff that we do as a church. We're reaching out into lots of lives in different ways. And last year, and we said this in January on the vision night, and we've mentioned it and talked about it, about God really speaking to us about the north part of Horsham and reaching out into that part of the town more than we already are. And there's some great things going on. But part of this covenant in ourselves is we become embedded more into the life of the community. It's not about us going into the community. We are there already. In the church here, we have about 230 people that actually live in the north part of Horsham, including adults. There's about 150, 160 adults and about 80, 70, something like that, 70 children that live in the north part of Horsham that are in the church. And so, and there's about five or six life groups that people are part of in that area. So we're already there and there's already a lot of things going on. But we're going to be building up more of how we're reaching out into that community and serving and building relationships, loving and the people and just seeing God touch their lives. We have a number of things that we already do weekly or monthly that we're making known more and how we can serve the community, how we can reach into their lives. And from next month, from April, we're going to be doing once a month on a Saturday morning, going to various homes and lives, serving them, meeting needs and doing practical things. We've got some monthly things going on in terms of in the middle of May. We're doing a fun day in the Roffey Rec there. And then in June, we've got a fun day, our anniversary weekend, where we get a few thousand people coming to that. But there are a lot of things already going on through life groups and in South Homes in other areas. And one of the things that as a leadership we really felt God say about Horsham, that we're to love Horsham. And God's agape love is his nature. And so when he says love Horsham, it's agape Horsham. It's not based on the people's performance or how they respond to us or even react. But it's based on his nature, his character, that we're going to love no matter what people are like, whatever they're going through. And maybe God asked Hosea to do something. It doesn't say here whether he struggled, how he dealt with that. It just talks about him doing what God said. So we don't really get any insight as to his human response or maybe how he struggled with that. I don't know. He was the prophet. He was a man of God and people knew he was a man of God. And yet for a man of God to take a prostitute for a wife, I mean, you could have a pretty bad reputation going around pretty quickly and you could, you know, I mean, you could be written off, all kinds of stuff. I don't know. But yet God wasn't saying, you know, protect your reputation or I'm going to make it easy for you. I mean, I want you to do something that maybe people won't understand at first, but I want you just to do it. And I believe God wants to release a real spirit of love in a greater way than we already have and in a deeper way than we have for our town, for Horsham. If you don't live in Horsham, then for wherever you live, Worthing or Guildford or Burgess Hill or Crawley, East Grinstead, whether you live in a village around Horsham, wherever you are, I believe God wants to really just baptize us afresh this morning with the spirit of love. So if you like to stand, we're going to pray. But I believe God wants us to sort of covenant ourselves with God for our town, for our region, and even for our nation on a bigger scale, but for our town. Covenant, what is covenant? I'll meet needs in your life wherever I possibly can. This has got to be the Holy Spirit, isn't it, today, to do this. But I really believe he's saying, look, there's a new bowl. It's full of flavour, full of salt. and I want to throw the life, I want to throw the people, I want to throw you into what is bad and unproductive, what doesn't seem to be going well. Because I want to bring my kingdom life. I want to bring healing. I want to bring hope. I want to bring people out of despair. I want to turn lives around. I want to set people's lives on a firm foundation. He talks about people out there being oaks of righteousness, a planting in the Lord in Isaiah 61 there. And he talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He's anointed us to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to release from the darkness those who are imprisoned. And it's all about bringing release, bringing life, bringing freedom. But then he speaks about what he's going to do about restoring and rebuilding and repairing and resetting people's lives. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? And it's amazing that we're privileged to be part of God's family, God's people, if you like, of God's restoration, healing purposes, that we don't come in any self-righteousness or self-justification or anything like that. But we come with humble hearts, with hearts that want to serve, that want to give, that want to meet needs practically, that want to see families restored, households come together, the streets in our town impacted, the communities, the whole place with the presence and the power of God. Amen. So let's just take a couple of moments. Just close your eyes for a minute. I don't know, you already might be responding in your heart already and to what God's saying, but we've all got neighbours that are unsaved. We've all got people in our street that we know that don't know the Lord, work colleagues, family members. You know the community you live in, the feel of it. You know some of the people, you maybe know some of the needs around your community, where you live, in this town or whatever town or village you're in. Maybe you know some of the needs in the town. You know, Horsham's got one of the worst records for teenage pregnancy in the whole area. God covenants himself with us and we want to covenant ourselves with the people. We're never, ever going to leave you. We're never, never going to say, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to criticize you. We're not going to speak badly of you. We're going to speak well. We're going to encourage. We're going to speak life. We belong to you and you belong to us. That's part of the covenant that we have together. Even though they might not understand that at this point, we belong to them because God wants to unite us with our community and with our town. It's like throwing this salt into the water. Once the salt's in the water, the salt dissolves into the water. You can't, when you look at that river, you can't say, oh, look at all the salt floating around over there. The salt dissolves into the water, but the salt in it affects the water and changes it and cleanses it and brings a purity there. The water on one level still might look the same, but the taste is fresh. What it's going to produce is something that is going to be full of life instead, because something of life has been thrown into it, sown into it, put into it. So just make your own personal response this morning. Just let him know where you're at in response to what we've been looking at, what he's been saying to us this morning. Maybe just thank him that he's made covenant with you, and in the same way he then graces us to now make covenant with the people, with our town, with our communities. Father, we thank you just for the cleansing that you've been doing in our lives, the preparation you've been doing. Father, you've been putting the north part of Horsham in our hearts more and more. You've been speaking about the town more, the 25-mile radius. Father, in our efforts, it's totally, totally impossible. It's ridiculous. We can't do it in our own efforts. Father, you know what's in our hearts. In all of our hearts, we want to see lives change and the whole atmosphere of our towns and communities change. But we know it's got to be you that does it at the end of the day. It's an impossible task, but yet you say all things are possible for those who believe. So, Father, we want to respond this morning. We want to, as you've covenanted yourself to us and we've done the same with you, Father, we want to make covenant with our town. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now just raise your hands right now. Holy Spirit, we thank you. There's got to be a work that you do. We thank you for a fresh baptism of love right now. Father, we thank you for the Spirit of love just baptizing every one of us afresh now. Thank you to give us eyes to see the way you see, Father. Give us eyes to see the way you see so that we don't look with any sense at all of any judgment or self-righteousness or anything like that, Father, but we just humble ourselves afresh to you. We humble ourselves, Father, where we might be with unsaved people and we can have a reaction or response, or we come into contact with some people and we just have a wrong attitude or whatever it might be, whether it's towards young people out there or old people or whatever it might be, Father, whoever they might be. Father, we thank you for a softening of hearts where we need to be softened. Father, we thank you for that fresh baptism of love. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, as we get thrown into Horsham more than we ever have before, like you threw that salt into that river. Father, we thank you just for that cleansing work of your Holy Spirit. That as we reach out to people, as we spend time with people, as we love people, as we serve people, something of your life just flows more than we've ever known. Something more of your Holy Spirit is released more than we've ever seen. Just breaking down walls of hostility, breaking down walls of pain and rejection and shame. Just breaking through where people have just got guards up because of their life experience and of relationships and hardships and all of that. Father, where there's even people have what seems to be good, like that town, it all look great on the outside, but yet on the inside, Father, things are very different. Father, we thank you that the dynamic of your Spirit just flows in a fresh way into lives, in the workplace, in the office, in the shop, in the mall, wherever it is. Friends, when they come round for a coffee, when we're picking the kids up from school, when we're parking the car and we chat to somebody, whatever situations, Father, we thank you. And we're going to be more aware. Eyes that you, of your eyes, Father. Let us see people. Let us be aware as we're walking around town, as we go about our daily schedules and things that we have to do in life, Father. Make us more aware. Let us see what you see. Let us be more affected by other people's lives. Let us in on what you're in on, Father, in terms of people's lives. Let us have a fresh compassion, Father. Let us have a fresh love. Let us have just a fresh grace and patience and the fruit of your Spirit just oozing out of our lives, Father, where we're full of patience and all the dynamic of the life of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.